Good morning and welcome to episode 240 of Taking the Charge podcast with you from Toronto, Canada. David Hine of Hine News. Thank you for stopping by. Nice to be still in Canada, hanging out with family up here, and wonderful to be here. At the same time, also looking forward to getting back home and being able to do some work at home and just be able to be in my own routine and whatnot. But it is a pretty exciting time to be here in Toronto. I'll get to that in a second. But just to let you know how you can get in touch with the show. If you want to reach out to me on Twitter, I'm at Hine News, H-E-I-N-N-E-W-S. The email address is hinenews@gmx.de, the website hinenews.com. The Facebook group, just put in the search bar, Taking the Charge podcast, and you'll find that, and you can join the group and enjoy the community there, talking some hoops and whatnot. And if you want to support the show, please go to patreon.com/takingthecharge. Show your love to the show and what the show means to you. So up here in Toronto, it's actually pretty. It's the end of my trip. Been up here, hanging out with family. Did go to the BioSteel All Canadian game. Was actually hoping to get up to see the Futures game, where Addison Patterson, 2001 born, torched the opposing team for 39. But missed it. Just had other things going on. But it is what it is. Did have a chance to go to the main game, which was pretty exciting. Lugans Dort was named the MVP. Scored 30 points and really showcased pretty nice all around package. He's been, I guess, working on his outside shot, and he did hit. Let's see, what did he do from 3-point range? No, it was red. 3 of 6. So that's definitely a pretty nice little showing there. A couple other guys who impressed me. Abu Kijab was pretty strong all around. Definitely a worker. Ignas Pratsikas, who a lot of people know. He put up 27. I really like Quincy Guerriere, who's another just like Lugans Dort from Toronto from Montreal. Jaden Bariaku, I don't know if he's gonna be ready to play against these big Americans and some of these other bigs around the world. Looked okay, but wasn't really let's say impressive that much. So, he did grab 8 rebounds. He had 4 rebounds in 15 minutes. Did have 8 points. Simi Shitu is gonna be okay, gonna be, definitely strong enough for them. I'm wondering, maybe if Shamil Stevenson is maybe kind of past him, past Jaden Bariaku, lower. undersized. Sorry about that. Undersized. A bit for a big man, but definitely has could definitely grab a spot as one of the big men. Canada are absolutely loaded with guards and wings, but I think they're going to be kind of trying to figure out what they are, what they're going to need as far as big men go. O'Shea Brissett, he also likes to play a little bit out on the wing as well, so I don't know exactly how much they're going to get out of him in the paint. But in general, it was exciting to be there. Very long game. It was actually played with 14-minute, 12-minute quarters. And And yeah, it just was a really long game. Ended up being 153-135. And could have a 40-minute game would have been definitely more than enough. But yeah, it was still pretty good. Exciting to see the guys who I hadn't seen or only saw on video. I did like that Nikhil Alexander-Walker played, scored 19 with 7 rebounds, also had 4 assists. He was one of the 4 original guys. Dort had gone to the Hoop Summit later, but the other 3, Wigginton, Shile Gilgeous-Alexander, and RJ Barrett did not play in the BioSteel, so it was kind of nice that they came up and played. Yeah, so that was pretty exciting. Ended up watching, I guess, most of the Jordan Brand Classic Global Showcase, which is the 2001 generation. I know that Addison Patterson had a pretty nice game, was named as the MVP. He's a pretty nice talent, yeah, definitely. So I think Canada are pretty set. They're going to be a tough one. They're going to be a tough one on at the under 16s. Maybe they can grab. Maybe they can get the Americans. We'll have to see. There was also an announcement that Canada will be hosting the under 18 FIBA America's under 18 championship in 2018, which is then qualifiers for the under 19 World Cup, and it's going to be in St. Catharines. So you know that may be a chance for the Canadians to maybe get the Americans. You know, they have home court advantage then. That's RJ Barrett's generation. That's the 2000 born generation. So maybe they could get them. Have to see. Like I said, Toronto pretty happening city right now. Blue Jays, the baseball team, just started their season. They're actually struggling a bit right now, and their bats are really 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 bad right now. You know, both the Raptors and the Toronto Maple Leafs are in the playoffs, so it's pretty exciting to be around. Raptors are even at 1-1. The Raptors fans, you know, the Toronto fans, there's a little bit of you know, I guess it's a little bit, I guess, okay, if you will, if Milwaukee play well, because you know Thon Maker being up here in Toronto at the Athletes Institute, you know, kind of gives them, you know, a little bit of a rooting interest. Obviously, they would like to see the Raptors make it. That's going to be tough with them. And the other one, the Maple Leafs, I guess the first time in 4 years or something like that, and just the second time in like 12 years or something like that, they're in the playoffs. And it's you know, the Maple Leafs gear is sold out, not all of it, but, you know, like the smaller stuff. And, you know, just was out on the out in the city today, this morning, and you see Go Leafs Go on the subway. And you don't see as much of the Raptor stuff. So, you know, you definitely, you know, their Maple Leafs, what's it called? Maple Leafs Square or whatever it is right in front of the Air Canada Center was absolutely jam-packed. So they're playing the Capitals. They're up 2-1. You know, Capitals are the one seed with Ovechkin. And so it's a pretty it's pretty exciting. It'd be pretty neat to see Toronto if they go pretty far in this NHL playoffs. I think if the Raptors actually kind of are able to get past the Bucks as well, I think that would make it kind of exciting in that regard as well. So they are the three seed, so they would then get Cleveland then in the next round. Who knows about that? So, all right. I guess, and this is actually a little bit in advance of our of the interview of the week. Just one interview. We kind of talk a little bit about some EuroLeague and some predictions and stuff like that. So I figured I would kind of give some predictions. EuroLeague, actually, I did not watch any of the quarterfinals. I don't even know who won the first games of the quarterfinals of the EuroLeague playoffs. So CSKA Moscow, Baskonia, I'm going to say 3-0 for CSKA. Olympiakos against FS, and I'm going to say Olympiakos actually pull it out 3-2 over FS. Madrid and Dashafaka, I'm going to take Madrid with a 3-1 series victory. And Panathinaikos against Fenerbahce, I'm going to say Fenerbahce is going to sweep it 0-3. That puts a final four of CSKA Moscow against Olympiakos. Tantalizing, I guess you can say. and then Real Madrid against Fenerbahce. You know, just absolutely massive teams, strong fan bases. So that would be pretty, that'd be a pretty awesome Final Four. An Istanbul Final Four with an Istanbul team would be pretty great. And but I actually have Madrid beating Fenerbahce, and then CSKA beating Olympiakos, and CSKA hoisting the trophy again. Actually, since I'm at it, might as well give a couple of the other two competitions that are still going on. Basketball Champions League, the Final Four is going to be in Tenerife. The that's going to be April 28th and April 30th, so in about a week. That's Banvit against Monaco, and I'm going to take Banvit on that one, and then Tenerife against Rayer Venice, and I'm going to take Tenerife on that. And I'm actually going to take the hometown Spanish side, Tenerife, wins it and is the first ever Basketball Champions League champions. Unicaja has already won the Euro Cup, and the FIBA Europe Cup is actually in the final, and that I do not know who won the first leg, which I believe was yesterday, and then the second leg is on Tuesday, so before next week's show. That's Chalon against Nanterre, so an all-French affair, and I'm going to take Nanterre winning it over two legs. NBA, they're already kind of far, you know, two games. A lot of them are already two games, or I think maybe even all of them are two games, so I'm not going to talk too much about that. So with that, I'm going to let you get to the interview of the week. This is really special for me. Had it, but I'm not going to go back and look. Vince Stefanelli, listener to the show, had him on a while back, and had a chance to have another listener, a long-time loyal listener, of the show, Robert Wetmore. He won our the Taking Charge NCAA bracket tournament with the NCAA tournament. He picked North Carolina to win it all, and actually had a 97.9% correct prediction rate, which was at least pretty good in our group. Figured, you know, I said I want to get the winner of the bracket on. Like I said, you know, Rob's been a long time loyal listener, also very, very, very active in the Facebook group. And, wanted to get him on and, just chat. And I want to give him the full stage as far as the interview, and so this is my chat with a longtime Taking the Charge listener, Robert Wetmore. Enjoy that, and we'll catch you on the other side. All right, so on the show this week we have a loyal listener, Robert Wetmore. Robert, welcome to the show.
Hi, David. Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Gladly, gladly. There's actually a reason why we have you on. You are a victor in our, I guess, annual. I guess we've been doing it now a couple of years, right? At least 2 years.
Yeah, I've been a part of at least two.
Yeah, the bracket tournament challenge, the NCAA, actually had planned, sort of planned, to have you on last week to talk about the tournament and just say hello and whatnot. But you were the winner in our tournament. Tournament challenge. Just seeing how many guys we had in the group. I think we had about 15 people or something like that. We
Yeah,
did.
I think about 15, yeah.
Yeah, 15. I guess 14 really competed. One forgot to. I guess I don't know. Forgot to. But and you won it with a 97.9% correction rate, a rate of
Yeah,
correct calls.
to quote Jonas Valanciunas, victory, baby.
Yes. So you had North Carolina winning it all, one of three people to have it to have them winning it all. Can I assume that you're a graduate of UNC Wilmington or something? No, is that what it is?
No, I mean,
UNC?
it's a reasonable assumption, but incorrect one. So,
Tried it.
I mean, first of all, I guess, strategies for this year, I was kind of lucky that none of my alma maters were in the tournament. So that would be UAlbany and Syracuse. I went to both of those institutions. So,
Okay.
I wasn't, since they were not good enough this year to be in the tournament, I wasn't tempted to irrationally pick either of them to go too far, God forbid, win it all like I did last year. But yeah, I'm a fan of UNC basketball, despite the numerous times they've crushed the Syracuse Orange. And I just thought they had a strong team this year, so I picked them. And I think last year I picked Gonzaga. I still had Gonzaga going to the finals, to the championship game.
Was there
So,
something about UNC that kind of said, okay, I think they could do it? Sort of older team or been there last year and wanted a bit of revenge?
yeah, I mean, partly just their record and this season, how well they were doing. Joel Berry and who was it, Meeks, and a couple other guys, all strong players, and just the strength of the program, I think, overall. I guess, just from a strategy point of view, I had a bunch of thoughts about how I put my picks together this year, and one of them, like I said, was not paying attention to any alma maters and getting distracted by that. Second thing is I did read your awesome Eye on the Future FIBA column on March 16th, where I don't know. By the way, if anyone doesn't routinely read David Hein's columns, they're missing out. I'm not just trying to butter you up there, David, but
Appreciate
I
that
think
though, nonetheless.
You're not one of those kind of like boastful self-promoters, which is basically a good thing, but I hope people are aware of your awesome columns. So I did read that column where you went through about five teams and, listed all the international players we could follow in the tournament. But rather than just kind of picking away at sort of fun international cheese balls, I tried to steer away from that. I did have that problem last year where I picked Gonzaga to go all the way. I think partly based on wanting to see Domantas Sabonis get a title and increase his draft prospects. And by the way, just a little Lithuanian specific aside, if last year's shooting guard on Gonzaga, Kevin Pangos, who is I guess he's Slovenian and Canadian, but so he's now in the LKL playing for Žalgiris Kaunas, sort of sharing time with another cheese ball of mine, Lukas Lekavičius. Well, I think I've already had too many asides here, and we've only just started the call. But
Congratulations. It was fun. I think, just like anybody else and anywhere else, when you have the bracket, just kind of brings people together. I mean, even some of the guys in that group were actually some of my baseball teammates in Regensburg, and a couple of them are absolutely zero basketball fans, but just took part in it. And one of the guys had Baylor, and he's like, I have no reason why I have Baylor. I just, and so it was cool. It's always neat to, in that case, also kind of get people introduced to college basketball. How much
Yeah, I
college
think
basketball do you watch then? I mean, obviously, I do. We do on the podcast a lot more international basketball, but I mean,
Right.
college basketball is becoming very international basketball, minded as you see with so many teams. So how much are you able to pay attention to it then?
I try to read up on a lot of the games. It's hard to find the time to watch a ton of those games. I try to prioritize the watching the EuroLeague games and then some of the NBA games. I'm pretty much a Raptors fan these days. And I like to watch the Bucks and Brooklyn, but I do try to catch at least a fair amount of Syracuse University games and try to follow the happenings. But I think it did probably help me that the group as a whole was so underperforming. The standards were pretty low in the group this year.
Well, even
I don't know.
97% is pretty good. I mean, I don't know
Not
what the.
bad, not bad. But do you happen to know this guy? I think it's Oz.
I heard of him or something like that.
I need people like that are like just really bringing up the rear to kind of help my average. But I think in his defense, he's more of like a Canadian American football guy. So that I think explains the failure of his bracket. No, but in all seriousness, Oz is awesome, and I totally miss him on your show. I loved when you guys used to do those epic 3-hour podcasts, and I think Oz picked UCLA to go pretty far, which is pretty, actually pretty reasonable, a reasonable pick, actually.
Yeah, we both had him had them winning the title. So me and Oz,
Yeah,
it's totally separate, totally separate. So
that's not a crazy pick, and I think Oz is a Lakers fan too, right?
yeah,
So,
exactly. I think he's hoping that
yeah.
Lonzo makes us stays in the Los Angeles vicinity.
Yes, right.
So for those who might not have picked up on just the couple of minutes that. Rob and I are talking right now. There's a couple of things in there that actually some listeners have no idea what you're talking about. Oz, for example, although he's been on a couple, I've had him on a couple of times, but Cheeseball, I really don't use Cheeseball, unfortunately, that much just because of the conversation. But maybe so the 3-hour ones, those are actually pretty long ago too. So how long have
Yeah.
you been listening to the show? And and what do you what do you like of the show? Both maybe back in the day when Oz was around and me, unfortunately, I say it often and I truly mean it. I wish I could give more time, in the introduction and whatnot. But so often with everything that's going on, I don't have a lot of time. What in general your thoughts about the podcast and how long you've been listening?
Yeah, so I think I got really into international basketball maybe back around 12, 13, 14. I started to get into it, and I found your podcast at least a couple years ago. So I've been listening for a number of years, and I went back and listened to a lot of the older ones. I like some of the conversation about EuroLeague and just following international play that makes it into the NBA. But I think your focus is so much on youth and development leagues that's really cool because I just like to learn about some of these players that we haven't heard of yet and then try to keep an eye on them and I guess I already went on a Lithuanian tangent, but I like following the LKL to the extent I can. I don't know if anyone out there knows how to routinely get LKL games in the USA, I guess Twitter it or whatever, tweet it to David. But basically, I think just following like I knew nothing about Dragon Bender, for example, and you had talked about him a long time ago, and Porzingis, and so it's just very cool when you learn about those kind of guys, and then when they hit the big leagues, you kind of go, hey, this really is panning out,
Yeah, it's really just kind of turned into, those are the guys that I need to talk to for the work that I'm doing and just kind of using it to kind of introduce, other things. And what I tried, I mean, and I understand that, not everybody's a youth hoops junkie like me. And so what I try to do, and it was 2 weeks ago where I had Frank Linders on, you know, was the marketing media and marketing guy from FIBA talking about this Nike deal. I'm a total sucker for a business story. So, you know, there, you know, there's gonna be, I had the Google Glass guy on there. We were talking about the Google Glass and that. And then there was the what was the thing that that Dante Exum did? I think it was also with Red Bull, in connection with Red Bull, something as far as like biometrics or whatever, you know, stuff like that. I do try to kind of keep, you know, things that I kind of discover and I think are interesting to the basketball community. Unfortunately, I don't do enough women's basketball, but that's just, you know, not you know, it's not something that I follow very much. But I do try to, you know, give you guys out, you know, stuff out there that's, you know, that's not so easily seen or heard, you know, like that story with the marketing, you know, with Nike. I think that's a really big deal. You know, they're on until 2023, and you know, I was looking around for stuff on the web, and there was like nothing on that. You know, there was basically just a rewrite of the FIBA release or the Nike release, and that was it. And you know, it's like something like that's, you know, I like to try to, you know, offer a little bit more insight into some of these other issues. And I mean, if you're interested in, you know, some of the EuroLeague, the when, you know, when they kind of sort of the finances of the EuroLeague and how it's changed up the Malcolm, it's like Malcolm Gladwell, or is he the Malcolm Gleizich, I think is what it was. You know, go back and listen to those.
It's just
What?
in the U.S., it's so international basketball is so impenetrable, and it's very hard. You know, I can't seem to find too many other fans of international basketball in real life. And, you know, finding info about like when Basketball Champions League was developing, it's like, what is this? And you can't find reasonable articles on it. So I appreciate your show kind of helps me understand sort of the scene and hear some good info. Like I have a friend at work who knows I'm into international basketball, and he actually was talking up the Finnish prospect, Lauri Markkanen. He's an Arizona fan, this guy. And I had told him to keep an eye out for Dragan Bender. And then unfortunately, like a few weeks into the NBA season, this guy at work sends me this clip, and Bender is doing the most outrageous double dribble this side of I don't know, the grammar school playground, I guess. So that was embarrassing. But I do try, in general, I do try to promote international basketball, and it's just impenetrable from the U.S. in some ways. So I appreciate your podcast and, like, you know, EuroLeague Adventures. I jokingly call them your rivals, but I know you guys are all tight. So that's a good one, a good podcast too.
Yeah, they are. I mean, if you're interested in the EuroLeague, go to them because, you know, that's their 100% focus. And I haven't been able to really, you know, I really haven't been much been following the EuroLeague very much. You know, we're in the quarterfinals now. Actually, I guess they're going to start tonight. Actually, Tuesday. The first game is Moscow against Baskonia. Actually, first two games are tonight. Do you have any? So it's Moscow, Baskonia. Panathinaikos against Fenerbahce, Olympiakos, Efes, and Real Madrid against Dasha Fakka. Do you have any? Do you have any tips on what do you think is going to happen? Who's going to be the
I mean,
four teams in
it's so hard
Istanbul?
to say. It's so hard to say this year, but I'm at least going to probably pick Moscow again to go all the way. I would like to see Baskonia do well this year too. I mean, I really like the 2016 Final Four in EuroLeague. I think that was really a fun season. Not just Čička going the whole way, but like just seeing how well Laborel had done. And I actually was pulling for them to kind of go the whole way with, you know, Borussis's breakout season. And I'm a fan of Bertans. So I guess I'm hoping for an exciting season, you know, season end here in Final Four. I don't have any like super favorites right now, but I'd like to see Baskonia do well, and I always like to see Moscow do well.
Yeah, I mean,
Obviously, Žalgiris is nowhere in the picture, so as usual. lately.
Where does the so Lithuanian Cram Jam is your was your team name for the for the bracket?
Yeah,
Where
so
does
there
the
was.
interest in Lithuanian basketball come from?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I just started to rediscover my. I'm part Lithuanian and just to sort of rediscover my own heritage. And then the fact that I'm also a basketball fan, it was like a a unity of kind of interest there. So I started to try to catch obscure games and found my way towards EuroLeague. And like I said, I try to catch like Rytas games and, Lietuvos Rytas games. And the name, the Lithuanian Cram Jam name I came up with because it was one of my favorite basketball calls, I think, of all time. It was when Mindaugas Kuzminskis was in EuroLeague a couple of years ago. I can't remember if it was when he was with Žalgiris Kaunas or Unicaja Malaga, but he drives in for a dunk, and the announcer yells out Kuzminskis with the two-handed cram jam. So I just thought that was such an awesome call. I wish I could find which announcer that was, but I love the phrase, so I try to work in two-handed cram jam wherever I can.
What do you think about the new format? This is the first year, one of the things that I was kind of wondering about would be, down the road, every year we're gonna have Real Madrid and CSK. I'm kind of like a kind of a dreamer, and kind of like these you don't see Real Madrid against Bayern Munich in the Football Champions League every year. You don't see AC Milan play Barcelona every year. So these are more meaningful matchups, whereas you have this closed league where they play everybody 2 times a year. What are you okay with that? Do you like the format? Obviously, it's a very long, tournament with 30 games.
Yeah, I mean it's okay. I think maybe getting more variety in there would be more positive, and shortening the semifinal rounds might be increase the intensity a little bit. But I think overall I'm okay with it. I think I was more kind of concerned about the split out with EuroLeague and Basketball Champions League and what that would do to kind of alter the competitive scene. I'm actually kind of finding I like watching the occasional Champions League game to see teams that I wouldn't otherwise see, but it's not helping with getting better teams into tournaments, I guess, or more rare teams into tournaments. So I don't know. I don't have the perfect answer. It's all I can do to understand the whole landscape.
Yeah, and I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we actually have a little bit more upheaval again this summer, a little bit, because there's going to be the windows that are going to finally be coming up in November, and nobody really knows exactly how that's going to work. And
Yeah.
there's word that the EuroLeague teams will release their guys, but what happens with Euro Cup? And
Right.
and then there's some federations, like I think the Italians have said they're not going to play Champions League now, so they're going to go to Euro Cup. And so what is that?
Right. A
And
whole nother layer
the
of.
French have also been, I think Tony Parker was pretty adamant and said he wants to try to get into the EuroLeague and stuff. So, and I think the actual the contract that FIBA sort of has with EuroLeague, I guess, sort of a recognition,
Yeah.
acceptance. I think that runs out at the end of this season. So
Oh.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little bit more. I'm not going to call it upheaval. I don't think it'll be as nasty as it was before the season.
Yeah.
But there's, a lot of. I think there's going to be a lot of people trying to figure out where, who people, which teams are going to be going where, and so yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, right at the beginning of this season, it was quite a mess, and there's a lot of PR kind of battles. I mean, for me, I think it's at the end of the day, it's all about like the FIBA Eurobasket tournaments and the Olympics. You know, as much as I like EuroLeague and college ball and everything, the ultimate is just seeing how the Lithuanian national team will perform and how watching whatever Serbia, Latvia, and how they do in Eurobasket. And I mean, unfortunately, in the 16 Olympics. Lithuania was crushed early by Australia, but back in 15 Eurobasket, they did respectably, at least until that final game with Spain. But still, we're whatever runners up. So, I mean, it's fun to watch EuroLeague all season, but my highlights for me are EuroBasket, and if you have a feeling that you want to cover that more, I'll be very happy.
The EuroBasket, you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm actually going to be in Tel Aviv for that group, which is, oh God, off the top of my head, I can't remember. I know Italy, obviously Israel, Georgia. Can't remember the other names. So yeah, I'll be there and be doing some stuff from that. So are you looking forward to the windows then to kind of get a chance and seeing these guys play national team during the year?
Yeah, that would be very cool. Yeah.
Yeah, just people are used to it. Obviously, in Europe, teams, clubs around the world releasing their guys. Just, I wonder how that's gonna be working. Also for like some of the South Americans, whatever Brazilians in Europe, because those guys go back to play for Brazil in the, let's say, FIFA World Cup qualifiers. And
Right.
but are they gonna be making that long trip back to Brazil, Argentina, wherever? For those, because those, it's like a 10-day window, but then if you're doing that, then that's, it's just with the amount of travel, it's so much longer. You're almost probably 2.5 weeks, because maybe with jet lag or whatever, So, do you have any questions for me? I give you the platform, you're on. So do you have any things you've been wondering about?
Before I ask a question, I would just say that real quick that I thought one of your coolest podcasts was I think it was back in the 120s. It was when you had J.R. Holden on. There was such a nice kind of camaraderie that you guys had, and I don't know if you can get him on periodically, but I mean you obviously get a ton of great guests. Other questions, I don't know, what other podcasts are there in the international basketball or that maybe you listen to?
I don't actually. I actually don't listen to a lot of basketball podcasts. I mentioned I kind of sometimes I have trouble getting into the EuroLeague just because I'm not really following it that much. And so I'm such a baseball junkie that I have like four or five baseball podcasts that I listen to regularly.
It's all
And
Cubs
um,
specific or
no, no, no. Actually, I was listening to the Cubs like when they were, when it was still, everybody was still excited about the season, because it was like, we, st you know, they still haven't won and all that. And so since then, it's, I it's, I have a couple of fantasy podcasts that I listen to. The Effectively Wild podcast is absolutely tremendous. If you're any sort of baseball fan at all, Effectively Wild, and they're at 1,045, and it's gone through. I guess the first 1,000, maybe 1,010 or so, I think it was, they did with two guys, and then and but they went through like th three or four different jobs because they went from Baseball Prospectus to ESPN and then to The Ringer. So it's that I've listened to since the start, basically. And that's a fantastic. That's a little more stats driven. And there's some.
Any baseball predictions out there? Like, how do you think the Cubs will do?
I think the Cubs will be fine. They're struggling a little bit. They got swept, but they'll be fine. They have so much. I think they need to kind of get a little bit of, everybody's, they're the target now for everybody. And so they'll be fine. If they have troubles, they have so many chips that they can trade and to get a pitcher. Cleveland, I think, is going to be going at it. I think some of those usual suspects are going to be going really, trying hard. I think the Yankees, actually, if some of these young kids could actually play the whole year, they have a lot of really, really good talent. So some of those guys might really, really help them. The Red Sox, their GM, traded a whole bunch of their young kids to get, older pieces, and he's not going to want to be not winning for a while. San Francisco, they didn't really get any make any changes, but they're always around. Washington, I don't know if the Cubs can repeat. I think they'll be a contender all year.
Yeah, I would agree.
And I mean they'll if they need somebody, they have like three or four high level guys in the minors that they can trade for a pitcher, and they just have so much money that they can, they don't have to worry about it. But for me, all this, it's all just now have fun watching the Cubs, none of this anxiety or anything like that, all this myth and curse and all this other stuff is just gone by the wayside. Now I could just be a fan and enjoy watching them play good baseball. And I mean, there's so much talent there. They can win like 3 and 5 years or 4 and 6 or something like that, So,
Nice. Yeah.
yeah. What do you have a team? I mean, are you? I mean, up
I mean,
at.
I'm definitely not as big of a baseball fan. I'm in like, Mets, Yankees, and Boston territory here. So I mean, I usually pull for the Mets, but
Okay.
I haven't even read up on the roster for the season, so I'll probably get into it at some point. What about for NBA? Do you have any picks for how the finals will go?
I can't see anybody beating LeBron and the Cavs in 4 games in the
Yeah.
East, I mean, I think when push comes to shove, if it's down to a game 7, I can't see any of those guys in the East, being able to stop him again,
Yeah,
beating
unfortunately, I
them
think
four
you're
times,
right. I mean, I almost would prefer to have anyone else win. Like, I mean, I'm a Raptors fan. I mean, probably partly because of Jonas Valanciunas and formerly Linus Klaeser. But I think they already dropped their first game, right?
Yeah,
And I
they
like.
lost to Milwaukee.
Yeah, and I love the Bucks too. I mean, Antetokounmpo
Oh,
and Teletovic.
he's
Teletovic
amazing.
are awesome. And for a while they had another Syracuse plug. They had Michael Carter-Williams on there and Tyler Ennis. They're now moved on. But I'd like to, and of course I'm sure Vince, listener Vince there is pulling for the Celtics, and actually I think they have a reasonable chance, but I just can't see who would there.
I don't see anybody beating the Cavs 4 times. And in the
Yeah.
West, I mean, really, San Antonio or Golden State.
Golden State, yeah.
I mean, those shooters, especially since Durant's back now, and
Yeah.
I can't see them being off 4 games.
Yeah.
All of
Yeah,
them, all of
I'm
them.
with you.
Or even say all, really, 'cause you're going to have at least 2 of them be off the whole game for them to
Yeah.
lose,
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think Warriors and Spurs have a reasonable chance. Bertans, another international player on the Spurs there, but they've always been an internationally oriented team. But could the Rockets pull something out, do you think?
I mean, Harden's playing much more unselfishly. He's not just, head down and drive to the basket and doing his,
Yeah.
soup thing, whatever that is. I still think that I still it se still seems to me that the that it's either going to be, one of those two teams,
Yeah, I agree. I think I tried to follow the Houston Rockets for a while back when Donatas Motiejunas was on the team. But Harden, I agree. He's probably playing less selfishly now, but it's just not a style of play I really like, and I just don't see them going all the way either.
And your MVP?
Pardon me?
Who's your MVP this year then? Obviously, that's probably one of the biggest discussions going on in the States right now,
Yeah,
as
I
far
know,
as the
yeah.
NBA goes.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron's always going to be up there, and so is Harden, I suppose. I wouldn't like either to win, so but I
And
don't
what
have a
about
good
Westbrook?
pick.
Everybody's saying Westbrook triple
Yeah, that would be
double.
awesome. That's who I would root for, would be Westbrook. I think you could make that case. Yeah. Yeah, so I'll go with Westbrook. It's
Westbrook, yeah.
a good pick.
I don't think any of them. I don't know about Kawhi Leonard. I don't know if that's really
Yeah, I know people
that
are
great of a
saying that.
pick. But I mean, I think you can argue the triple double from Westbrook. I think you can argue the
Yeah.
fact that Harden has become much more, unselfish, where he's, the
Yeah.
assists and all that. And I think LeBron. I think those are the main. three. I don't know about I don't know about Leonard. I don't know necessarily
Yeah.
why they have him in there that high, and so
I know you disagreed with last year's pick too, but I think people have LeBron fatigue maybe a little bit and want to see someone else, but
that I think that's what it is. I think,
yeah.
So podcasts, anything else that you listen to other
Yeah,
than
I mean, like
sports?
I listened to some a couple different Raptors ones. I think there's one by Raptors Republic. I think it's called like Talking Raptors. There's a Syracuse one with it's probably one of the best named podcasts. It's Troy Nunes is an absolute magician. That's the name of the podcast. But it's
Who is
basically
that? Who is
all
that though?
well, it's about Syracuse sports in general and basketball, but Troy Nunes is just a second-rate football player from the past. It's kind of a joke name that he explains, but it's pretty cool for Syracuse stuff. And then I listen to a ton of like music podcasts and stupid like personal finance stuff. It's really boring, but I guess you're my number one, and EuroLeague Adventure is probably number two for fandom.
Well, it's very cool to hear. Very cool to hear. You're going to be interested in some Canadian hoops now too, though, Syracuse. You have actually two kids coming up. One of them, both of them played at Athletes Institute, O'Shea Brissett, and Howard Washington. But I guess Howard Washington was actually born in upstate New York. But I guess he's going to be playing for Canada, or he plays for Canada.
Yeah, I think
Considered.
of him as Canadian. I didn't realize he had a New York.
I think he was born actually in the States. But yeah,
Yeah, so I like.
Brissett's interesting. So you had heard him. Did you know that already that he was going to be that he had already picked the, because I had him on the podcast,
Yeah, I think I
I
heard it
guess
just
about a
from.
month ago or so.
Yeah, I think I heard. I don't know, maybe from you mentioning it. I had heard it somewhere. I guess I always like to follow a lot of the Syracuse players where they've ended up professionally too. We have CJ Fair playing for Limoges, the French LNB Pro A League, and Scoop Jardine is in Canadian basketball, right, playing for Niagara, and Fab Melo in Brazil, and
Is he in Brazil?
Brasilia,
Wait,
their
no,
team.
isn't it Fab Melo, didn't he? Yeah, he died, didn't he? Yeah, he died in February.
Jesus, how'd I miss that?
Yeah, he died February 11th.
Oh, that's right. It's coming back to me now. Wow, yeah. No, gosh, I blanked on that.
It's at a 26. God, it's way too early.
That's crazy. Yeah, I remember just brought back memory of Conrad McRae dying on the court, a handful of taller players have. But we have like Hakeem Warrick is in Puerto Rico. Playing. I'm trying to. That's probably about it. But I'm always interested in the up and coming, hopefully better days for Syracuse.
With or without Beharm?
Yeah, good question. It looks like Hopkins has moved on. Boeheim's there for a little bit longer. They're gonna have to recruit someone, I guess, at a pretty high level.
I don't think that's a bad thing. How long had Hopkins been assistant there?
Yeah, geez, a number of years now, and it looked like he was slotted in to be Boeheim's replacement until just I think this year.
I don't know if that's bad, you know,
Yeah, I was
because then
disappointed
you
at first,
basically have
but
everything, you know, keeps going the same way. You know, Syracuse is such a big name. They play in such a big conference. And it's not just Boeheim that's, you know, I mean, okay, he's a great coach, but he's not the only reason why they've been able to, you know, develop great players and stuff like that. And you know, and just the fact that they're in that conference and they still have that mystique. Thus, I mean, it would take a long time for somebody to come in and let's say ruin that mystique. You know, I mean, it would take like whatever, like five, four, five, six times of not even making the NIT, you know, for them to like totally, oh, Syracuse, I know he's going to go to Syracuse now, you know,
So I think hopefully they'll turn it around, but
because you still have the dome there where they're playing, you still have, you know, the conference and everything else, and you know, Once
there's still.
one guy goes to that school and gets drafted, then you're fine, you know.
Yeah, that'll help. I mean, I think there's a couple senior players that are kind of marginal. We don't have any strong NBA prospects right now, I don't think.
But that's a
They had
high
like.
that's a high level job too, and so you'll have some big games, big guys, you know, really interested in that, you know, big names who would say, ah, come on, let's get in there, you know, because
I would think so, right?
it would seem to me, and I don't see why you just go to your assistant, you know.
Yeah. So maybe it was a good thing, yeah, that
I don't think
Hopkins
it's
moved
bad. I
on.
don't, you know, I mean, I don't know if I would necessarily be in, although he's kind of struggled the last whatever half decade, right? The school.
Yeah, it hasn't been, I think, what or the high point that it once was, yep.
All right. Well, anything else?
No, I don't think so, man. It was great talking to you, and I love the show and encourage everyone to read your column.
Thank you. You're pimping my stuff more than I even have to. No, it's really cool to have to have like the core of fans out there to really, you know, let's say rely upon, you know that, you know. Because I mean, there was some time there where I was like, you know, trying to figure out what to do with it, and then you know, started thinking, man, it's been so long. Why stop it? And you know, but how do I do
Yeah.
it? And I try to figure out, you know, do I bring somebody
I
else
think
on?
it probably would help just for your workload, just to get a somebody else like to share it, eventually. I don't know if that's possible.
To what do you mean, share it?
Co-host, with you and share the effort level required to produce those things every week.
It's really not that hard, though. That's the thing. I mean,
No? Okay.
no, it's really not, because you know the interview, it's all done in, you know, I just throw it into GarageBand and stuff like that, and to be honest, it there's actually there's actually the freedom to do it whenever I want to slash need to,
Yeah.
whereas with Oz, it worked with Oz so well because he was an early morning guy in Hungary. And so it just worked fine, you know, because we were both early morning people and we would just wake up and we would record it and it was no problem. But then it was kind of like when he went to California, to LA, that was when it was kind of like, oh, you know, how do we, you know, we kind of have to, you know, figure out when to do it.
Yeah.
You know, his morning, you know, because also he's like 9 hours behind me. So, yeah, but so in that regard, it is very. You know, I am very free as far as my Wednesday. You know, I know I have to do Wednesday sometime, and just but you know when, you know, I think it helps the quality of it. You know, to have the interaction with other people, and so that's why for me it's really just kind of lived with the interviews that I do. I try to, you know, I just try to have engaging conversations. You know, even with a player who you know might not have loads to say, but I try to make some, you know, try to get, you know. And then if there's not a lot, I try to offer a few of them. You know, like last week, I think I had five of the youth guys. You know, these, like you said before, you know, these are high level guys. You know, like RJ Barrett. You know, he's, you know, there's talk that he's going to be, you know, NBA. You know, he's a college one and done guy. You know, when he finally decides to go. And who else did I have? I had Dos Anjos, you know, people are getting to know him a little bit as
Yeah,
well.
yeah. Yep.
You know, so it's just trying to, you know, in that regard, then kind of push a couple of names. A guy actually super fun to watch is Lugansz Dort, who's a Canadian. He's from Montreal, from Haitian parents, from Haiti, and he was a late call to the Hoop Summit. And because Glover, the kid from Australia, got hurt, broke tore his ACL, and then they called in Dort really quick, and then they and then he was the MVP of this BioSteel All-Canadian game, which is like this Canadian high school level showcase, and he's a
What's his name? How do you spell that?
Lugansz Dort, Lugentz. Lugansz Dort, Dort.
Okay.
He's at a high school in Florida. This was his second year in Florida at high school, and he's built like a linebacker, and he is he's a 2B senior in high school, and he's got some pretty interesting offers, or at least interests, Baylor, Louisville, Florida State, some pretty decent level schools, and he was a monster at the this BioSteel game, so yeah, he's definitely a guy to watch. Plus it's interesting that he's from Montreal, which is not quite as big as far as basketball goes.
Sure.
Not as
I'll
much as
keep an eye on that. Sounds cool.
Actually, what did I just write? I'm trying to think what I just wrote. The column about last week. The column I did was I mentioned him. There was the video in there of some of his highlights in there. So,
Okay,
and, but
I'll check it
I'll
out.
and also just because we're in and this is not for you, but also I mean not only for you, but for everybody really. The under-19s, we are we've been doing the under-19 World Basketball World Cup. That is in July, and that's in Cairo. And now I guess it's about 2 months at least, where we're doing at least one or two pieces a week. Last week I did the piece on Hashimura, the Japanese kid at Gonzaga, and then this week I don't know if I'm going to get two in there, but at least one piece in there. Probably we'll do. Actually, we'll probably do Dort, the this kid, and then also probably end up doing Tillet, the French kid from Gonzaga.
That'll be cool.
And
Very
then
good.
I think in about 2 or 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks maximum, there'll be pieces to about the FIBA Europe youth competitions.
Okay. Awesome.
And I'm already doing a little bit of some of the other stuff, like the FIBA Americas. Calipari is going to be coaching under 19, so that's going to be interesting. To see how many of the Kentucky kids come play for America.
Yeah.
But the FIBA Americas, there's a lot of good, and these I guess are like freshmen in high school, but there's a couple of really good freshmen in high school going to be at this FIBA Americas. And all these FIBA tournaments now, even the youth ones they're going to be live on YouTube. So what do you think?
Perfect.
So you watch EuroLeague TV. And do you watch, what's the Champions League on? I turn, is that's
Yeah,
on Live Basketball TV, right?
exactly. Yep,
Yeah,
yep.
and then so obviously you've watched stuff on YouTube. Where do you like watching games?
I think, that live basketball TV got a lot better. I think when the Champions League got together. But I think the EuroLeague games are probably the best, I think, as far as like commentating and streaming quality. I don't know why I go to YouTube less often. Maybe I should do that more, particularly to catch some of like the these youth league games. So I'll probably look into that more.
Do you like the EuroLeague package?
Yeah, I
I
think
know
that's
they're
pretty
I know
good.
they're trying to the idea was basically to make it like the UEFA Champions League, where you can almost have a game anywhere. The game could almost be anywhere. The production of it is almost basically the same.
It
Obviously
seems like it, yeah.
that's the goal because they're working with IMG. So that's
Yeah. And then
I like
trying
YouTube
to.
because you can stop it and go back. Their arrow back 5 seconds is so convenient on
That's
YouTube.
a good point. I don't know why it's so hard on the interfaces on the other
That's
streaming.
I really have troubles with that.
Yeah, you miss one thing
If
and you
there's
can't
a
really go
I
back.
think I can't remember which one of them has a 10 second, which is okay. Even the ESPN player, I don't know. That's actually really expensive, and I'll probably get rid of that one because I don't use that much. But that goes back a minute, I think, which makes
Is that
no
right?
sense. Which makes no sense.
Yeah,
But
I
that
haven't used
5 second
that
going back to watch the highlight. That YouTube is. I really enjoy the YouTube stuff.
And then what about like with the Eurobasket and how I think I've used live basketball TV in prior years, but then I get, I think, geo-blocked based on, so I can watch it sometimes in replay. Do you have any recommendations for those?
You know, I that's one thing I haven't checked, where those games are going to be. Drop me a line to remind me that, and I'll check. I don't know where those are going to be, if they're going to be all on live basketball TV, or if they're going to be streamed on YouTube. It's kind of the same thing now. So, I mean, because we're also going to have these, AfroBasket, also going to have the, Eurobasket Cup and AmeriCup, all these tournaments now, they're going to be shown, but I just don't know which platform they're going to be on. As far as geo-blocking goes, I don't know how that all is going to work.
Yeah.
There's always, some online places that you could, grab a stream or something like that. But yeah, they're going to be shown somewhere.
Yeah.
But I don't
Sometimes I
know
can't catch
exactly
them
where.
anyway, live because of the time zone. So I can sometimes on a certain point on replay, they're not geo-blocked anymore,
Yeah.
or they make it to YouTube. But it's just, it's always like a confusing mess. Like, what league am I in? When is this streaming? And am I geo-blocked, you know? And then, like I said, I don't know how you even in America get like LKL or even domestic league play in general. I'm sure there's ways, but I wouldn't know how.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's, I'm sure there's sites out there that could do it here or there. I'm not promoting any specific streaming site, whatnot, but I'm sure there's places out there. So,
Yeah, I hear you.
all right, Rob, it's been fantastic. I truly, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for all your support. It's awesome having, having you and the rest of the guys out there, following the podcast and keeping me going. It's totally appreciated. Really can't say enough, for having the support there.
Oh, thanks so much, David. This was a real blast, and that means a lot to me that you'd say that. I love your show, and it's really helped my, encourage my fandom of a lot of European play and international prospects. So it's good stuff, man. I'll keep watching, keep listening, rather.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks. And if I'm ever in upstate New York, I'll definitely drop you a line and then we'll actually meet in person one day.
That'd be great, and I'll do the same if I'm in Regensburg.
There's not going to be many reasons to come to Regensburg otherwise, but although it's a very beautiful city. If anybody wants to come to Regensburg, it's an absolutely beautiful city. Yeah, there's not loads and loads of reasons to come to it, though it is a very beautiful city. So, all right, Rob,
Okay.
thanks. I appreciate it.
Hey, take care, man.
All right, fantastic. Again, to Rob and to all the listeners, Vince obviously been on the show before. To all the listeners, thank you very, 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 very much for being there and supporting the show and keeping me going. It's very appreciated and yeah, I mean, if it wasn't for you guys, probably wouldn't be still doing it. And it was a pleasure chatting with Rob. And yeah, just if you guys have any questions, feel free to get in contact with me. I list all the ways. HighNews.com, High News on Twitter, the Facebook group, Taking the Charge podcast. There's so many ways to get in contact with me. Feel free to do it. Love the communication, the dialogue, and reach out. All right. With that, I'm going to call it a show and let you get on with the rest of your day. Last thing to let you know is what you're going to be listening to. The song's called Onions. The band is Mega Gem. And the music is available on freemusicarchive.org. Enjoy it. Enjoy the EuroLeague playoffs. If you want to get your EuroLeague fix, I have no problem sending everybody over to EuroLeague Adventures. They cover the EuroLeague much, much more than I do. So go over there, listen to them. Go follow those guys on Twitter, And because those guys are the number one guys for EuroLeague basketball. And like I said, no problem at all directing, you know, traffic over them, because that's who it should be. With that, enjoy, and we'll talk to you next week back home in Regensburg next week. So have a good one.
Hello, my name is Sergio Scariolo, and you are listening to Taking the Charge.